Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back in On The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we will be joined by Dr. David Chow. You can find his work at profootballdoc.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at profootballdoc. We'll also give you another chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Today's pop quiz was The Replacements. You like that movie?
That movie sucks.
Okay. It's BK likes. I knew one of y'all liked that movie. That movie's awful.
That's one of the worst sports. Shane Falco. What was the team called? Like the Sharks?
The Bums. That's who they were.
That movie sucks.
You guys, the Washington Senators?
The movie. They were bums. Yeah, that's what it was. Bums. So coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Dr. David Chow. So we got this question on the text line about Chad Henne. So to give you the very Cliff Notes version, Matt Moore is their current guy. They had Chad Henne. He got injured in the offseason. They had to bring in Matt Moore. I want to play this audio for you. This is Andy Reid saying that he's always been a fan of Matty Moore.
Well, you saw production from him for a number of years, and he was in those situations where people debate that he should be the starter or the other guy should be the starter, you know, wherever he was. And you saw that ability to be able to start football games and win. You know, and I told you before, he and Chad, that was the year between those two, and we liked both of them. I mean, it was really kind of a coin flip. I didn't think we could lose either way. It was great that we had an opportunity to get him back here.
So that's Andy Reid. This is the truth about Chad Henne or Matt Moore or a majority of these quarterbacks that are being thrown out there. This is the difference between debating what's better, IHOP or Denny's. Now, I've had a great slam in my life. I love a short stack from IHOP, but it's the same. Maybe you have preferences. Maybe you like something a little bit different at one that they don't offer at the other, but I'm here to tell you that IHOP and Denny's are the exact same. If you like Chad Henne over Matt Moore, I'm not that interested in arguing with you because it doesn't matter. They don't change my expectation for this team. If Mahomes is going to be out, let's say 4 games, the best case scenario is that you win 2 of them. You're likely not beating Green Bay with Matt Moore, Marcus Mariota, with 10 days. He barely understands Tennessee's offense. He can now come in here and understand the Chiefs' offense that I understand now. You want to get the best available quarterback. But the truth is, if you don't have your quarterback at week 7 of the NFL season, your team's not going that far. Like, we watch enough NFL to know if your team is trying to figure out the quarterback situation, like the Chiefs currently are, then you're not going that far. The best case scenario for this team, the only option is that Patrick Mahomes come back healthy and Godspeed to that brother. Matt Moore, Chad Henne, Marcus Mariota, Eli Manning, Ryan Fitzpatrick, none of them are saving you from your 9-7 feet if they have to play for a prolonged period of time.
For sure, it's prayers up to Patrick Mahomes. And how quickly we realized that the Eric Fisher injury and Damian Williams sucking and Frank Clark underperforming and Steve Spagnuolo not being who we thought he was don't really matter, because Andy Reid, you were looking at these things. You were telling me this yesterday. We were out at Harrah's at Winning Streaks, and you were looking at a Craigslist ad for whatever reason. Was it Craigslist or Marketplace or whatever it was?
Facebook Marketplace.
And you showed me this car, and the ad said it's got new tires, interior's clean, leather interior, by the way, power everything, everything's in great condition, selling it for $500, .. needs an engine. Okay, well, then everything's not fine with it. The biggest thing is messed up, and that's the thing that makes it go. So right now, the Chiefs still have a lot of things going for them, but we all agree it comes down to, is Pat healthy? Then we can continue the Super Bowl conversation. If not, we can't. But Andy's kind of blowing smoke up our rear ends when it comes to Matt Moore. Matt Moore in the last 8 years combined has passed for 1,600 yards, and a lot of that is opportunity, but there's a reason why he's basically been a career backup. So we'll see what Matt Moore brings to the table, because he's a guy in his career that has 46 touchdowns, 36 interceptions, and he's never really been a full-time starter.
I mean, his numbers don't mean anything to me. Matt or Chad Henne's numbers don't mean anything to me. Pat is a Maybach. Pat's a Bentley. Pat's the nicest car you can think of. You want to know what Chad Henne is or Matt Moore? Your first car. That's what it is, your first car.
A 94 Toyota Tercel?
Whenever your parents gave you your first car, if you were lucky and fortunate enough, they were just trying to get you a safe, dependable vehicle that could get you to and from school. That's all Matt Moore is.
I don't know who you think Mr. and Mrs. Levine were back in the day. I worked at Schnucks and Bag Groceries the time I was 14 to get that Tercel, but your point is true.
He is a safe, dependable car. You're not winning the Super Bowl. You're not getting buys. You're not doing any of that stuff if Matt Moore is your quarterback. That's not his job. That's not his expectation. It's very simple, and I think the goal of 80% of backup quarterbacks in the NFL is if your starter misses a prolonged period of time, can you manage it? Chase Daniel, for example, what Kyle Allen's doing right now, what Teddy Bridgewater is doing. You ain't winning the Super Bowl if those are your quarterbacks. But if your quarterback's going to miss five games, can you tread water? That's all I'm asking Matt Moore to do. That's all I'm asking whoever they get in here to do. There's not going to be a quarterback controversy. This isn't going to be a Kyle Allen, Cam Newton situation where Matt's got the hot hand. Let's ride with him. No, we all know what this is. We all know what this is. So I got no disrespect to Matt Moore. Call it what it is. One is Dollar Tree. The other is Dollar General. It's the same store. Maybe you like one more because it's nice. It's closer to wherever you live. And that's perfectly fine. But they are the exact same quarterback. I don't want to spend too much time debating on who the Chiefs quarterback should be because both are bad options.
Are you telling me Matt Moore's not going to have his own cereal by the end of the year?
No,
so you talked about
not.
Treading water. Green Bay this Sunday, Minnesota, both home games at Tennessee, and then against the Chargers. Tread water, can they go 2-2 in those four games with Matt Moore?
Absolutely, they can go 2-2. I think 3-1 is unrealistic. I think 1-3, you can be a little bit disappointed. Can they be 500? I think is a fair, realistic expectation for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Dr. David Chow to get the latest on Patrick Mahomes' injury. But BK, let me ask you this, because I think you and I are on different sides. Do you think that this team can still get the 2 seed if Patrick Mahomes misses 3, 4, 5 weeks?
I think they can. I think the goal for this team, and I think we're on the same page here, the goal for this team is, let's say it's 4 weeks. Let's say it's 4 games. He misses a month. He misses the next month for the Kansas City Chiefs. They need to go 2-2 against the Packers, Vikings, Titans, and Chargers. It's not going to be easy. I would probably pick them to go at best 1-3 in those games, but to get the 2 seed, they need to go at least 2-2. And then they need a little bit of help, but I think they can get a little bit of help. The AFC is down this year. The 2 seeds that they're going up against potentially are the Ravens, the Texans, and the Colts. Those are the teams that they're in contention with. I don't think the Texans, the Colts, or the Ravens are great football teams. We talked all offseason. If you think you're a great football team, you think you're going to go 12-4. Well, I think those teams aren't great. So I think it's possible that the Ravens, the Texans, and the Colts slip up enough to get to 11-5, 10-6. And then the real question is, can the Chiefs have one game better than the Texans? The fear for me and for Chiefs fans today should be the Chiefs didn't lose the 2 seed yesterday. The Chiefs lost the 2 seed last week. That's very much possible, but I would say that the 2 seed is still attainable for the Chiefs. It just became a hell of a lot harder, obviously.
I mean, if you're right and they go 1-3, then the 2 seed is definitely out the window. They still got
to
play Chicago.
That's why I said 2-2 has to be the goal.
They still got to play Chicago and New England coming up in December on the road. Those could both be losses also. So at this point, C-Dot, the goals just have to be adjusted. At the beginning of the season, it took me a while, and you tried to convince me, and I was hard-headed, but eventually I came around before the season started that it's Super Bowl or bust, and that's it. Not get back to an AFC championship game, not win another MVP. If they don't win the Super Bowl, then it wasn't a successful season. I don't think we can have that conversation today.
I agree.
Last week, we could have the conversation, can they be a 2 seed? I don't think we can have that conversation today. I think right now the conversation has to be the new goal is to make sure that Patrick Mahomes is as healthy as can be. Because I don't want to say 100% because he hasn't been 100% this whole season. And I don't mean that old NFL adage, nobody's ever 100%. I mean, we can see with our own two eyes that Patrick Mahomes has been hobbled since that Jacksonville game. So at this point, the goal number 1, 2, and 3 has to be get Patrick Mahomes ready, hopefully by the Patriots game, and make sure he's ready by the time the postseason rolls around.
This is where I am, BK. I think it's going to take 12 wins to be the 2 seed in the AFC.
You have that much faith in Houston.
You
have that much faith that Houston the rest of the season is going to lose 2 games.
I think
because they've already lost 2, so they get 2 games the rest of the year to lose.
I think it's going to take 12 games to win it outright. Maybe that's a better way to put it. That I think if the Chiefs go 11-5 this season, I think they lose the tiebreaker to the Houston Texans. So if you think Houston's winning 11 games, that means you got to win one more game than them to secure the 2 seed. I don't think that's realistic anymore. I'm optimistic about Matt Moore. I think I'm about where everybody should be. You can go 2-2, 3-2 with them. That puts you at 4 losses. Is the expectation for them to go undefeated with Mahomes comes back with no understanding of when he's going to come back, how he's going to look? Is he going to be a little timid, like with no understanding of what he looks? I think that five losses is now realistic. Six losses is probably now realistic. That's not getting you the two seed. Can they still win the division? Absolutely. Can they still host the playoff game this year? Absolutely. I think expecting them now to be one of the two best teams in the AFC, where they're already two games back of the New England Patriots and they're already tied with the Houston Texans and they lost the tiebreaker, I just don't think the two seed is realistic. The three seed is, the four seed is. I don't think the two seed is anymore.
So the reason why I think it's still possible, I would not pick them to be that. I would say that today the favorite to win the two seed is whoever comes out of the AFC South, because both of those teams, I think it's the Texans or the Chiefs or the Colts, both of those teams have the tiebreaker over the Chiefs right now. The Ravens aren't going to get it. They've got at the Seahawks, the Patriots, they've got the Texans, the Rams, the 49ers, the Bills. The Ravens are not going to get the two seed. So it basically comes down to Texans, Colts, and Chiefs.
Coming up in just a few, we will be joined by Dr. David Chow. You can find his work at Pro Football Doc. You can also follow him on Twitter. He just actually posted updated Patrick Mahomes information post-MRI. We'll learn more about it coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we will give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We will also be joined by Dr. David Chow momentarily to get the latest on Patrick Mahomes. Now that the MRI results are out, what does he think? What does it mean? We'll find out from someone who has a medical degree. We'll do that coming up in just a few. But first, I want to play for you guys the latest from Ian Rappaport on Patrick Mahomes' injury.
Patrick Mahomes had his MRI this morning, and obviously if you have someone of the caliber of Patrick Mahomes, you don't want to be waiting around to do the MRI. They did it fairly early. He received excellent news. He does, in fact, have a dislocated kneecap, which is what I think what everybody saw watching TV last night. You know, you basically could see the athletic trainers and the doctors pop the knee back into place. But after that, no significant additional damage. So that was the concern, that he would have torn ligaments or that his knee would just be all messed up. That was not the case. So really, best case scenario, from what I am told, expect him to be back in the field this season after a brief absence. So, you know, hard to imagine this going better for the Kansas City Chiefs.
So that's the latest from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. You and I were talking about this during the commercial break. I mean, the saving grace of all of this might be the division. I don't know if they're going to be the 3 seed or the 4 seed, but at this point, you just got to find a way to win the AFC West. They're 23-3 in their last 26 games against teams in the AFC West. And someone on the text line says, I don't know if we can beat the Chargers now. The same Chargers that just lost on Sunday Night Football at home to the Pittsburgh Steelers with their third string quarterback. We don't think the Chiefs can beat that team. How many wins do you think Oakland's getting? Like, I don't now want to puff Oakland up like they're an 11-win team or a 12-win team or the Chargers like they're that team. The Broncos stink. We saw it last night. They're not going anywhere except fifth overall in the NFL draft. But I'm not afraid of the Chargers or afraid of Oakland. Now, I will say this. Maybe it's an asterisk. We'll see how good Oakland is this week, coming off a bye, going to Lambeau. If they win that game, all right, maybe we can have that conversation, because then they sit at 5-2 with where we are at the schedule. But right now, don't talk to me about the Chargers. They just lost at home to the Steelers.
Yeah, you were right about Denver. Denver stinks. You're terrible. Right about Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco stinks. They're a terrible football team. That being said, let's give some credit where credit is due, because we're talking a lot about Patrick Mahomes and his injury today, as expected. The defense was great yesterday. That was the best defensive performance of the year. Frank Clark, I've been awful loud when you've been bad, so I'll be awful loud when you're good. You were really good last night, dude. 5 tackles, all solo, 2 sacks. And it wasn't just that. The eye test, he was getting off blocks good. Ogba did his thing. Hitchens did his thing. Had a couple of sacks. Like, the defensive line and the 9 sacks yesterday were way better than I even thought they could be against Joe Flacco.
Coming up at 3:30, we will give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And we'll get back into the Chiefs quarterback situation and why I think Matt Moore is going to be able to carry the Chiefs at least for a short period of time. But let's head to the phone line right now to be joined by Dr. David Chow to get the latest on Patrick Mahomes. Doctor, thanks a lot for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. Second time on 610 today.
I know, busy day. But now I think it's important, now that you come on after the MRI, now that we have more news, what is your take on the MRI results for Patrick Mahomes?
Well, look, the news is good, right? I mean, as good as it can be, and it's been described that way. quote, good, quote, best case scenario, quote, not significant additional damage, okay? Best case scenario for a bad scenario, which is a confirmed kneecap dislocation. This does not mean there's no damage. It means there's no additional, no significant additional damage. By the nature of this, there's still an injury to the medial retinaculum or the medial patellofemoral ligament, MPFL. We'll all get used to hearing about that in the coming days here.
So,
and there's going to be some rehab time and so forth. This doesn't mean that this was a nothing injury. This means it wasn't anything more than what they already saw, which we'll take it as good news.
So, doctor, you talk about good news. All the reports seem to keep saying optimistic and that it was a positive, and you use best case scenario. Why is that, given the injury that Mahomes sustained yesterday?
Well, you know, I like to stay positive. I mean, when the kneecap comes out of the track, and if you really go back and look at the video, the kneecap literally slides out to the outside of his knee, and it's fairly grotesque. And you actually, if you look closely, you can see it on TV. And it slides out by 2 or 3 inches. Name one tissue in your body can stretch in an abnormal place by 2 or 3 inches and something not tear or stretch or partially tear. I'm not aware of any when something goes where it doesn't belong by that much. That's why I'm saying this is still a very significant injury. But believe it or not, if you have the right, what we call sulcus or the groove and the right shape and the right angle, it is something that you can compensate for. Matthew Stafford in 2009 missed 3 games and returned to play, finished the season, but also had surgery in the offseason. But the good news is no one's ever talked twice about his knee going forward. So that's good news. Obviously Mahomes and Stafford are different players.
Doctor, what you just described to me sounds incredibly painful, and we saw the video of Patrick Mahomes walking off without what appeared to me, I'm no doctor, a significant limp heading in to get his MRI. How painful is what happened to Patrick Mahomes last night?
Extremely painful. Look, I've said before publicly, I didn't think there was any way Patrick Mahomes could impress me in even more than after his season last year. But in week one, he did. When he suffered that, what I thought was a pretty good high ankle sprain, and stayed in the game and led the team to victory, and then it didn't really miss any time the next 3 weeks, and starting with a 4-0 record, I thought he did something special there. Now, of course, in week 5 and 6, he re-aggravated it. But look at how painful it was. When it was dislocated, it's extremely painful. When it gets put back in place, it is like such a relief. Not that there's no pain, but it's just nothing compared to what it was. Go back and look at the film. He couldn't get off the offensive lineman. He laid on the offensive lineman. The offensive lineman, the Chiefs player, had to wiggle himself out from underneath Patrick Mahomes. He was trapped slash pinned there. He couldn't move his knee. I mean, I cannot believe he wasn't screaming. I mean, it is very painful. And the medical staff did a great job of relocating the kneecap on the field, which relieved a lot of the pain. And that's why he's able to wave off the cart. But it's also his toughness that he just wanted to walk off and so forth. So that's why the two extremes, why he could walk off, yet it was extremely painful. Once it was, quote, popped back into place, that relieved a lot of the symptoms.
Doctor, if we're talking about surgery, are we at the point where it's not a question of if but when?
For an NFL player, I believe that is the case. But I have not examined Patrick Mahomes. Let me give you other examples. Trent Williams, I think 2 years ago, had a dislocating kneecap, tried to play through for the Redskins, did not make it through the season, was in and out the first half of the season, and finally had surgery. Look, I hope Patrick Mahomes can make it. I hope his case is more mild. But in the NFL world of all the stresses, especially as dynamic a player as Patrick Mahomes is, I still believe if he chooses not to have surgery now, I wouldn't second guess the decision. I would trust him and his doctors. But I still think it likely is best for him to have it in the offseason, because you don't want to have this hanging over your head as a potential problem. And the worst thing that can happen is that it happens again, and this time you knock off a piece of articular cartilage or something, and now you set down the road of arthritis.
Right now, we're talking to Dr. David Chow. You can find his work at profootballdoc.com. You can also follow him at profootballdoc on Twitter. So re-injuring it, injury risk going forward, what is that given that he's not going to have the surgery right now and that he's going to try to knee brace and try to stabilize it to play again this season? What's his re-injury risk?
Well, I hope with the appropriate bracing and rehab and care and maybe even modify a little bit of the way that he plays to be a little less dynamic. Look, an 85% dynamic Patrick Holmes is still probably more dynamic than any other quarterback in the league, just to keep it, you know, a little safer. I hope he doesn't dislocate, but the risk of re-injury, re-subluxation is clearly there once it happens. And I don't want to wish that on him, so I'm not going to try and put a number on it. But that's what they have to consider. And remember, he's a young guy, and if you're the ownership, you got to look at, you know, the next 12, 15 years. And if you're Patrick Mahomes' agent, maybe you look at, well, he's still on his rookie deal, I mean, et cetera. So a lot of things still need to be sorted out, but let's celebrate the early good news coming from the MRI. But let's not belittle it. It's not nothing. It's just it could have been a lot worse, so let's celebrate that. It's not saying that he wasn't injured.
Dr. Chow, last question here. Mahomes already came in with a leg injury. Did that contribute in any way to the injury that he suffered yesterday?
I do not believe so. The left high ankle sprain, I do not believe it contributed to the right knee patella dislocation. It was a freak thing. And quite honestly, statistically, quarterback sneaks are safer than having Von Miller chase you.
That is Dr. David Chow. You can find his work at profootballdoc.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at profootballdoc. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Dr. David Chow. We will react to that coming up on the other side. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And there shouldn't be panic because Andy has done this before. We'll explain coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, it is your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word sunshine, S-U-N-S-H-I-N-E, sunshine, to 72881. That sunshine, you could be the $1,000 cash winner in the National Cash Contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station today talking Mahomes and giving you a chance to win that cash. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here from 9 to 5. Your next chance to win and last chance for the week is coming up in 1 hour, but go ahead and win right now. One more time for those of you keeping score at home. Sunshine, S-U-N-S-H-I-N-E, sunshine, 272-881. I'm not going to be the one to point it out, but no one will if I don't. I have been knocking out these words. I mean, I have absolutely, I mean, it's basically Akilah and the B over here. You guys aren't giving me the credit. The text line's not giving me the credit. But let me pat myself on the back. Carrington, great job by you. You're doing a fantastic job this week spelling all these words correctly.
No big words yet. I heard the next week they're going to give you metamorphosis coming up on Monday. So good luck with that.
And nobody winning the cash. It's that simple. Like, yeah, you lost. Like, you're just like me in Survivor. You had a chance. You blew your chance. You have no chance of winning moving forward.
Good for you.
Coming up, we will actually get into the game. Oddly enough, the Chiefs did play a football game yesterday. Right. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few. And you also want to keep it locked in because we listened to Denver post game, and let me tell you, they are worried about their football team, and I think you will enjoy it. We'll get to that coming up in this segment as well. But this is where I'm at with the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand the worry and the cause for concern. This was a all-in Super Bowl or bust kind of season. Mahomes is on the cover of Madden. He was the MVP. He's doing all these commercials. And the season hasn't gone so far exactly as people have predicted. But there's still time to turn things around. I want to give you a stat here very quickly. So Donovan McNabb missed significant time in three separate seasons with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Now, I'm not saying that Donovan McNabb is Patrick Mahomes, but he was also a starting quarterback in the NFL, a borderline Hall of Famer, and played in an offense very similar to the one the Chiefs have. In 2002, he missed six games. With Coy Detmer and A.J. Feely, which are basically the 2000s versions of Matt Moore and Chad Henne, they combined to go 5-1. Eagles went to the NFC Championship game that year. In 2005, Donovan McNabb missed seven games. Things could have went off the rails. It didn't, though. 2006, he missed six games. Jeff Garcia, 36-year-old Jeff Garcia, went 5-1. They helped the Eagles win the NFC East. All I'm saying is, I understand that it appears to be bleak right now. But if there's any person in the NFL that you think can tread water and make do with the quarterback situation that they have, is Andy Reid. If you want to make one game point, the most encouraging thing you should have in that game, aside from the Chiefs defense, should be the Matt Moore touchdown pass. You want to know why?
Why?
Because Andy Reid perfectly schemed that up. That if you have any ability in the NFL, you can complete that throw. It was a fantastic route. A great play design. You got the fastest player in the NFL isolated one-on-one. If you can make the throw, if you can get the timing down, you can create big plays in this offense. I've just seen Andy do this time and time again. I don't think the season is over. Can they be the one seed? Probably not. Can they be the two seed? I don't think so. But can this team still win the AFC West? Can they still win double-digit games? Can they still be the dangerous team? I will say this. If they get Mahomes back, or when they get Mahomes back, and this team gets healthy, you know that dangerous sleeper that everybody likes? That will be the Kansas City Chiefs. The team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs. The team that all the pundits are saying what team that's not a one or a two seed can make a run in the playoffs. They will all be picking the Kansas City Chiefs if Mahomes comes back healthy.
No doubt. That's glass half full. Pat can rest the ankle at the same time he's resting the knee. Hopefully at the same time when he comes back in about a month, Eric Fisher will be healthy. Who knows what Sammy Watkins is going to be up to at that point. By that time, Chris Jones should be all right. So when the weather gets cold and the schedule gets really difficult in December at Chicago, at New England, then the playoffs roll around, I think that at that point, the Chiefs should be at their healthiest and the most dangerous. So we've been talking about this entire season. It's not about winning 15 games. It's not about this or that. It's about playing your best and being the most dangerous when it matters the most. And that's the playoffs. My problem is this. You just gave us all those great examples. Good job by you doing the research to find out about A.J. Feely and Coy Detmer. And I completely forgot about Jeff Garcia.
A.J. Feely. They made it work with A.J. Feely and Coy Detmer.
But Carrington, you're talking about making it work? We had Super Bowl or bust expectations. Not win the division, not get back to an AFC championship game, not win 13 games, get to and win the Super Bowl this season. So you're right. The Chiefs might be able to do a lot of things with Matt Moore. They might be able to do a lot of things with 75% of Patrick Mahomes. But the key is get him back to as close to 100% to win a Super Bowl, because even though it hasn't felt like it the last couple of weeks, that's still what the goal is this year.
And this also, I think, goes to show how hard it is to go to and win the Super Bowl and how many things have to align. You'll follow this analogy. I was talking to a good friend about this yesterday. You cheer for Kansas, right?
Yep.
How many times have you started the season with Kansas basketball thinking, you know what, this team's got a really good shot to go to the Final Four?
Every other year.
How many times have they gone?
A few.
Two, three. Because it's really hard to do so. And typically the years in which you didn't think they were going to go to the Final Four, magically those teams went to the Final Four. These years that are happening, or this year, I guess, that's happening with the Chiefs, is going to happen again over the next 15 years if you play in the NFL. The only team that it hasn't happened to in 15 years is the New England Patriots. It's happened to everybody else.
This has happened when they've lost maybe the best threat that's not a quarterback in football in Tyreek Hill, their best player on defense in Chris Jones. Now they're without Patrick Mahomes. Sammy Watkins is the fifth highest paid receiver in football. I know the teams have, especially this year, got hurt and bitten by that injury bug. Not this many players this quick that are this important to one team that I can remember.
It's just so hard to know without going back. You're telling me there wasn't a year with the Indianapolis Colts that at week eight we're kind of looking at that team like, I don't know what that team.
Bro, who are the Chiefs' five best players or most important players? Tyreek Hill's on the list, right?
Yeah.
Pat's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jones on the list. I mean, we could maybe make an argument that outside of Travis Kelce, the most important players on this team, 1 through 6 or 7, have been out for different periods of time this year, and we're only, in week 7?
Yeah, I agree, and I'm trying to make the point of, that's kind of why it's hard always in these conversations say Mahomes is going to 5 of them. This is one of the years that you thought he had. Like, this is one of the years, if you thought Mahomes was getting to 4 or 5 Super Bowls, this was probably one of the years that you had him getting to 1, and he's going to get to 1, and probably 2, and probably 3, but sometimes it's going to be the Chiefs are that 7-3 football team, and then they catch fire and they get hot the second half of the season. One season, it might be they're the best team from start to finish the entire time. Like, there's no way to kind of pinpoint these things. The same thing with KU. I've looked at KU teams that, man, they got Frank Mason, they got Josh Jackson, they got Devontae Graham. Oh, Final Four is at Sprint Center or Elite Ace at Sprint Center? No chance that team doesn't go to the Final Four. Like, fluky, weird things just happen in sports all the time. Maybe that's no consolation here. It just goes to show you how many things have to line up perfectly in order for you to be in that position. Your quarterback's got to stay healthy. Your left tackle's got to stay healthy. Your wide receiver's got, like, a lot of things have to align all in one time to give you a chance to do something truly special in this game.
And at this point, with the news that we got earlier today, hopefully Patrick Mahomes is going to be only out for 3 weeks or a month. As Dr. Chow pointed out, it's good news in the context of, after we saw that hit last night, I'm going to be real with you, man. I almost vomited twice yesterday. When Pat was laying on the field, shaking around, as doctor pointed out, like he couldn't move, that looked bad. We were all at winning streaks at Harrah's, and the place went from being wild excited to dead silent in the matter of 1 second. I almost vomited. That's not hyperbole. I almost puked when I saw Pat on the field, and then, like 30 seconds later, they popped that knee back into place, and I almost puked again. It was hard to watch, but at this point, it's can you keep your head above water while Pat's out for the next month? The schedule, not the easiest. Green Bay, Minnesota at Tennessee against the Chargers. But I'm with you. I think that Matt Moore, coached by Andy Reid and all the talent around him, guys getting healthy, they should be able to go 2-2 throughout that stretch.
I also just want to point out that it's not over. It's just not as easy as people had anticipated it. The anticipation was that this was going to be the smooth ride. This team was going to go 14-2, 13-3. They were going to coast to the playoffs, and the only thing you had to worry about was the AFC Championship game. It is just a different path. None of us know how this Chiefs season is going to end, but I am telling you, I've watched enough NFL and follow it, and I watch enough national television shows to tell you this. If the Chiefs get healthy like we thought they could before this game, if they get Mahomes back, if they get Sammy Watkins back, if they get Chris Jones back and Eric Fisher, and they are an 11-win team, and they are hosting their first-round playoff game.
Nobody wants to see that team.
They will be a popular sleeper team. They will be a popular sleeper team. And you'll then feel like you can go into Houston and beat that team, because you absolutely can. And you can still get to the same place that we have been talking about this entire time. You are going a different route and a different path than we had anticipated, but you can still absolutely do everything that you had planned. Coming up in a few, we will play for you Broncos post-game callers, and I'm telling you, they were having a meltdown after yesterday's loss. But, BK, we talked a lot about Mahomes. Let's talk about the other things that happened in yesterday's game.
Yeah, the other things that happened in this game, let's talk about the first one. The defense stepping up in a big way. The Broncos had 216 total yards. That's the fewest that the Chiefs have allowed in a game since the 2015 season. Sustainable or no, C-Dot?
I don't think it's sustainable for this reason. And I know that I'm going to be called a hater. What quarterback did they go up against?
Joe Flacco.
I'll give you the stat of the day. Reggie Ragland coming into this game had a half sack. He was a dominant pass rusher in yesterday's game. I'm telling you, the Broncos had a 5 o'clock free sack giveaway. They were giving out sacks to anybody yesterday. I don't know what defense I was watching, but that wasn't the Kansas City Chiefs. Garrett Bowles needs a hug. Needed an absolute hug yesterday. That Frank Clark that people were talking about at the beginning of the season that you thought could be the second-best pass rusher behind Khalil Mack, the perfect remedy was going up against Garrett Bowles. 3 holding penalties, gave up 2 sacks yesterday. He's maybe the worst left tackle I've seen this year in the NFL. I'm not going to say he's the worst I've ever seen, but this year in the NFL, there's no team who's left. He makes Cam Irving look like Anthony Munoz. He's awful.
I got all kinds of stats for you, leading with Frank Clark, who coming into this game had 7 solo tackles and 1 sack. Yesterday, he doubled his sack total. He had 2 of those and 5 solo tackles. And it wasn't just that. The eye test, he was getting off blocks. Frank Clark was really good yesterday. And if it wasn't for the face mask, he would have had the impact play on the first drive that didn't end up being. You mentioned some of these other guys. Hitchens was great yesterday. He got 2 sacks. Okafor was great yesterday. He got 2 sacks. Hell, Reggie Ragland's apparently still on this football team, and he made some good plays. So did Ogba. So did Derek Nnadi was out there. I actually recognized him. So I thought the defense was great yesterday. BK's question was, is that sustainable? If you play the Broncos every week, yeah. If you keep going up against Joe Flacco, that offense is terrible. And what the hell was that fake punt that they tried? That was awful,
too. It was terrible.
Denver's just not a good football team at all.
I mean, I'm not going to pat myself in the back because I thought it was fairly obvious. Joe Flacco's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. He's terrible. Yeah. I do want to give a stat. You know how you always get on me about the Cleveland Browns. It's something I got wrong.
Yeah.
How many touchdowns did you say Travis Kelce was going to get?
I said 15 this season.
He has the same number as Reggie Ragland. 1. Reggie Ragland has as many touchdowns as Le'Veon Bell and Travis Kelce.
My boy Travis Kelce better go off the next few weeks.
The NFL is weird, man. Like, I'm not even saying Kelce has played poorly. It's just a very crazy stat. Matt Moore has more touchdown passes this season than Ben Roethlisberger. Like, what odds would I have had to give you in Vegas that at the end of the season, Matt Moore would have more touchdown passes. 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1, 10,000 to 1. That's going to be the case. He's going to have more touchdown passes than Ben Roethlisberger.
Next one up for you guys. I know this is something CDOT's wanted to talk about for the last few weeks. I didn't let him, but let's go ahead and let him cook here. The special teams finally actually looked okay last night. DeAnthony Thomas seemingly lost his punt return job, even if it was just for a moment. Chiefs got a good return from Mecole Hardman. It went for 36 yards. The punt game was solid. Harrison Butker, 3 for 3 in kicking. CDOT special teams finally looking like they were supposed to this year.
DeAnthony Thomas got fired on his day off. It's that simple. You know he was over there steaming. I could have done that. All they had to do was block for me.
How you going to get fired on your day off?
Mecole Hardman is so much better at punt returns than DeAnthony Thomas. I'm trying to figure out what DeAnthony Thomas's role is on this team. Aside from being the weed man, allegedly, I don't really know necessarily what he's doing. I'm serious. I don't know what he's doing. What's his purpose on the team? If you can't kick return or punt return and you don't catch passes from Patrick Mahomes, what exactly do you do here?
Catch passes from Matt Moore? Maybe.
I got three Ds that I don't know what they're doing on this team. DeAnthony Thomas is one of them. Darrell Williams is one of them. And Damian Williams, who yesterday actually did get touches, but did his normal thing.
No, hold on. Go ahead and throw Darwin Thompson in there. Go ahead and throw him in there,
too. I wanted to, but I can't. That's my dude.
Yeah, you're trying to leave him out of it. Throw his ass in there, too.
We're going to leave that fourth D out right now.
He got 4 yards rushing this year. Throw his ass in there, too.
Damian had 9 rushes yesterday. They gave him the ball for 7 yards. Let me do the math for you real quick.
First team all inactive.
That's 0.8 yards per carry. I don't even remember what your question was. I just wanted to reiterate my thoughts on Damian Williams. That ship has sailed. He stinks. They paid him prematurely. He was never a feature back. The Dolphins were right the first 5 years of his career. The Chiefs were wrong. He was a savior when Kareem Hunt went out, but we've seen enough of him this year. Dude's averaging 1.7 yards per carry, 41 carries, 70 yards. You done, Damian. Where you at, Darwin?
You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for next week against the Green Bay Packers whenever the Chiefs run the ball 13 times to see your reaction. You might have a brain aneurysm next week. It's just, you have it. When, you have a brain. Whenever they only run the ball 13 times and then Matt Moore comes out there and throws it 35 times, it's going to be so great.
And it's when you run the football and who you run the football with. Like, if you're going to run the football with LeSean McCoy and he has 5.5 yards per carry, do it more than 8 times. If you're going to run the ball, don't do it on, what, 3rd and 15 against the Texans. And sure as hell, don't run the football with Patrick Mahomes on 4th and 1, if I haven't made that point yet.
The last thing for you, it is the running game. They ran the ball 27 times. Last night, Sean just didn't like the way that they did it this time around. It's always something with the running game. LeSean McCoy had 12 carries in the game, 64 yards. He is once again a guy that they believe can get 12 to 15 touches. This seems to be what it is for him. They don't like giving him more than that. See, what did you think about the run game?
I didn't have any problem with it yesterday. A big reason why they could run the ball effectively was they started off hot offensively. Like, they got off to a good start. They were able to set the tempo, and that really carried him throughout the course of the game. I thought they used LeSean McCoy well yesterday, and then late in the game with Damian Williams, they tried to give him some carries, and it just didn't get going, but I don't really have much issue with it. The Chiefs' offensive and defensive lines were dominant yesterday. It's like football's a very simple game. Do you dominate at the point of attack? The Broncos, now some of it is Joe Flacco's fault, but some of it is their offensive line is absolutely bad, and then the Chiefs, I mean, they were able to, 27 times running the football. They were balanced. The play action worked. Yesterday was, that was the most dominant I think the Chiefs have been all season.
And the secondary was, who was it? Mo, Larry, and Curly, or Mo, Rashad, and Charvarius?
I'm actually going to give Charvarius Ward and Rashawn Fenton a lot of credit. Rashawn Fenton played well yesterday.
Played his ass off last night.
He was awesome. Guys, there were four, if you include Breland. There were 4 cornerbacks out there that were healthy. Short week. Defense on the field, in the altitude, division game, and we didn't talk about that at all. Like, that, the secondary, let's give them some credit. They haven't been the issue we thought they were going to be. We're almost halfway into the season, and yesterday, they weren't an issue at all, keeping Denver off the scoreboard for 55 minutes. So I agree with you. I think the defense had their best performance of the season yesterday, and when it comes to run-pass balance, finally they had that, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of it because Andy essentially was forced to run the ball yesterday after Pat went down.
I just want to point out one thing, and not that your take was wrong, but you were talking about the Broncos and how they felt like they could win the game and they felt like they could punch the Chiefs in the mouth. That fake punt did not represent that. I looked at BK when that happened. I said, Denver doesn't think they can win. That's the only reason you run that fake punt that they ran is if you don't think you can beat the Chiefs straight up. It was almost like after that fake punt, Denver realized they couldn't win the football game, and Flacco wanted to be anywhere else other than there.
You know who realized that Denver really sucked about 5 minutes in that game? Me. And I was like, oh, man, see, that's right. Flacco sucks. This offense sucks. Vic Fangio sucks. So did Vegas. They made the line 3.5. They thought it was going to be close. By halftime, everybody knew that was a blowout win, whether it was Matt Moore playing quarterback or Mandy Moore playing quarterback.
I mean, I'm sitting there listening to it, and Troy Aikman is talking about the energy. Troy Aikman openly said, I don't know why people are still here at the football game. Like, the Broncos yesterday, that was one of the more embarrassing efforts I've seen. I wasn't the only one that thought it. Andy Linhall, he does pre- and post-game for the Denver Broncos. He also thought that the Broncos were embarrassing.
Find a quarterback. This is everybody associated with this thing should be embarrassed tonight. And that, man, I'm not here for hot take radio, and I'm not here for conjecture. But again, I grew up in Broncos country. This defines embarrassing right now. It defines embarrassing. And Power may want to take their money back. I hope the money's dried on that contract.
The Broncos quarterback situation is absolutely abysmal. Maybe they don't think they have the answer in Drew Lock. I understand that he's on IR. And Joe Flacco is an absolute statue. Like, he looks shell-shocked. Like, I've seen that look before. He looked like Derek Carr with the Houston Texans. That's how he looked. It was he had the energy of, I want to be anywhere other than here. That's the energy that he had yesterday.
Deshaun Watson had got sacked 80 times in a year and a half. The week before, the Chiefs got him 0 times at home. Yesterday, I don't want to go LeBron, not 1, not 2, not 3, because we're going to be here for a while. The Chiefs had 9 sacks yesterday against Joe Flacco. 8, and then 1 against their backup.
Have you ever been in a situation where your girlfriend asks you to go somewhere with her and you don't really want to go for whatever reason, but you're like, all right, I'll go. And you just, like, drag your feet, and you're not that excited, and you're just thinking in the back of your mind, I want to be anywhere other than here. Let's hurry up and get this done so I can go home and I can do whatever I was going to do. That's how Joe Flacco was acting yesterday. Joe Flacco, in the second quarter of that game, you could tell, I don't want to be here anymore. I know we're not going to win this football game. And he was probably on the sideline checking his online banking for his account. I thought that yesterday Joe Flacco was absolutely embarrassing. And the Denver offensive line was bad, too. Some of those 9 sacks got to be on the quarterback position and him just not being able to move out of the way. Here is more Denver postgame about how ineffective they were yesterday.
This is one of the worst games I've seen. This is one of the low points in Broncos history. Make no doubt about it. You brought in Joe Flacco to execute this offense, to stay close in games. It didn't happen tonight, man. It didn't happen tonight. And I don't know what you do with that. So this is it. For everybody out there, I'm going to offer a public apology to my gal Crystal in particular, who I jumped on when she got upset about the trade for Flacco right away. To everybody else that I tried to tell you this Flacco thing would be all right, I apologize. I was wrong. Flacco, when you protect him, when you've got a great offensive line, he can be your guy. He can. But guess what? None of that's happening. And I saw it tonight. You probably saw it too. I'm telling you this right now. I've already seen that look. He's shell-shocked. And so, you know what? I'm wrong. I don't know what you do with this. I understand you try to play Drew Lock as soon as he gets back. But again, if Drew Lock isn't healthy, you can't play him either and have him getting the look that Flacco has right now.
There's far too many quarterbacks in the NFL that need everything to be perfect in order for them to function. And with Joe Flacco, you need things to be beyond perfect in order for him to have a chance to function. He can't move. He can't throw the ball downfield. He doesn't have great pocket awareness. Like, there's not one thing involved in playing NFL quarterback other than standing upright that Joe Flacco's good at. He is below average and bad at just about everything else. At least Marcus Mariota can move just a little bit. I'm telling you, Flacco is bad, bro.
That dude from Denver said it's a low point at the quarterback position for the Broncos, and the Broncos drafted Tim Tebow, Brock Osweiler, and Paxton Lynch at one point. It is bad. He's as bad as you said he was. I thought that he'd be able to at least put up some sort of numbers against the secondary because the Chiefs only fielded 4 warm bodies at the cornerback position. But Joe Flacco's bad.
I want to play this last one. This was the first postgame caller of the night in Denver. He said, Elway, he gots to go.
Hey, Andy. So maybe this is a long shot, but since Mr. B's been sick and now passed away, this team has no heart. And
I don't disagree.
I just feel like I love Elway, but he's got to go. And also, the new name for this team is the 3-and-out Broncos. I'm out.
I mean, there was a lot of 3-and-out. If you can't move the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs defense, you might as well just fold up shop and stop as an NFL team. Elway's got to resign. Elway has to do what's best for everybody, and Elway just has to step away and move on and allow someone else to run that team because he has done a very poor job of it once Peyton Manning has moved on. Coming up, we will get back into the Patrick Mahomes injury. Are they making the right decision in trying to bring him back this season? We'll discuss it coming up. So Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.